Will Christianity pass away? Will some other religion or philosophy take its place someday? You hear questions like that from time to time. The so-called new atheists, Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, some others, seem rather to hope that all religion might soon become extinct like the mastodons. Way over on the other extreme, television preachers may fill the air with their bombast declaring that the glory of their true church will never pass from the earth. Well, I don't know about that. The scripture says nothing will be impossible for God. I think we might then rather err on the side of caution on the question whether God will always keep God's savings in the church. Certainly we haven't earned the right. And yet it seems to me that the power of the cross of Christ will never pass from the earth. And here's why. Most symbols celebrate success, yes? Think of logos for Coke, for Nike, for Windows. The evidence of success of these enterprises instantly flies to our attention. The colors and the typography of those images, those logos, is present to us instantly. And think of the American flag. Talk about brand name recognition. These symbols proclaim success. It's a message that we're always hungry for, namely, that more is better. Every symbol that dazzles our eye, the dollar sign on your paycheck, if you like your paycheck, the embossed return address on stationery for your home, if you like your home, every symbol that dazzles our eye signifies that something has succeeded. Something has climbed over another thing with power. It is more, it is bigger, it is sweeter, it is higher, it is quieter. Always some superlative. More. Now, this condition isn't bad. I'm not preaching ain't it awful. I'm just saying ain't it so. We're creatures. Creatures, like all our sister and brother animals, are bound and determined, in the sense that psychology means it, bound and determined by forces we do not control to look for more. It's in our nature. That's life. It's not freedom, but it is life in the flesh. However high things climb, though, two conditions always apply. Something will always surpass our more with its more. And the other condition is, we will always eventually fall. You cannot forever improve your position with more power. You simply don't have it, or you won't have it. Every greatest athlete will hang up her shoes. Coke will get cooked, windows will close, promotion will cease. Even the United States of America will pass from the scene someday. All these logos will fade. Is this awful? People will make the passage awful. Oftentimes, we do that, we know about that. Make it awful for others, as well as for ourselves. But it doesn't follow that fading away is just plain awful. The condition of rise and fall is just plain so. It's not freedom, but it is life as we know it. And yet what we really wanted was heaven. Once, what was there that could stop us? Not the skies, it seemed. We were Babel builders. Higher, higher we went. Oh, the exquisite thrill. Our race with all our strength and skill. This is a blessing in the body, a blessing of the mind. But heaven we could not have by straining for it. Perfection eluded us or deluded us. Is heaven even real in the way we imagine it? And yet still there was a passage to perfection. There was a way to go whose path is never barred, whose pitch is not too steep, whose goal is never set behind. It is the path of giving by going lower. On this path there is no end but God. For no matter how low another creature is or has fallen, you, by the grace of God, can choose to go down a step lower. You can always go a little lower. It's not that you always must do this, but it's that you always can. And there is true freedom. It is not life as we have known it, but it is the stairway to heaven. It goes down. In the 1930s, a Russian citizen named Yulia de Beausobre was subjected to torture in the Soviet Gulag. In her autobiography called The Woman Who Could Not Die, she tells how she came to life in extremis in her dungeon cell. Alone there between sessions of her tormentors, she engaged an inner conversation with a spirit self, a partner of spirit she called My Leonardo. What a great name to choose for a conversation partner in such a place. My Leonardo. One day, she writes, her inner Leonardo spoke to her of the possibility of her transforming her suffering. If you want to understand, to know the truth about this sort of thing, you must rise higher and look deeper. If you do, you can transform the ghastly bond into that magic wand which changes horror into beauty. It is unpardonable that anyone should be tortured, even you, if you merely leave it at that. But surely when you overcome the pain inflicted on you by them, you make their criminal record less villainous. Even more, you bring something new into it, a thing of precious beauty. But when through weakness, cowardice, lack of balance, lack of serenity, you augment your pain, their crime becomes so much the darker, and it is darkened by you. If you could understand this, your making yourself invulnerable would be not only an act of self-preservation, it would be a kindness to them. Look right down into the depths of your heart and tell me, is it not right for you to be kind to them? Even to them, particularly to them, perhaps? Is it not right that those men who have no kindness within them should get a surplus of it flowing towards them from without? And now Yulia writes, and the whole of me responds with a yes, like a throb of thundering music. Now you think, I couldn't do that. But you have no idea what you can do. You have no idea what you can do unless you are seeking perfection by going down. For as long as we seek perfection from strength, we have no idea who we are. On that path, you are bound and determined. You are always and only making more of yourself. Never can there come anything new, divinely new, into our self-made woman or self-made man. There is no real freedom there. If, like the sent down man whose name you have freely taken, you go seeking the seat at the lowest place, if you follow the example that he set, if you kneel yourself at the foot of the other, if you forgive those who bear nails and spears, then suddenly an infinite horizon for freedom and action opens for you. Your energy, your intelligence, your imagination, your love will never exhaust the possibilities for refreshment as you find the right way, the new way to kneel for the other in perfecting humility. Down that way, following the sent down man, is the only country in which you are no longer bound and determined. There is no conflict you have in your family, or in your church, or with your neighbor, or with your co-workers, in which you cannot, with generous genius, discover the secret door through which you can step down to serve them. There is not a grievance in your mind or in your body whose pain will not be transformed by your free choice to let go, to find the place of the servant. And the reason these things are so is very simple. When you follow the sent down man on his path, you cease making more of yourself. In that act, you begin being made human, a being made in the image of God, in the image of the sent down man. Until heaven and earth should pass away, the sent down man and his cross will never pass away. And if those who hear him gather, the church will be. For the way of the cross is the only road that has no end but God. Go this way in peace. For, as Jesus says, I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. If you know these things, you are blessed. You do them. Let us sing, He Never Said a Mumbling Word.